production. This is the Rush Hour with AB and Elliot's podcast. Rush
Hour. I'm kind of concerned, producer Luke and Elliot, that this podcast is just becoming a vessel for me to tell you about the fights I've had with my husband and make you choose sides, but not concerned enough to stop doing it. So I have another one today.
So he doesn't listen to the podcast?
No. He listens to the show on his way home.
Oh, and he'll give you very odd feedback.
Yeah, last week, what day was it? And he goes, that's what I call radio.
So you whack him on the show and then you whack him even more on the podcast.
Pretty much, yeah, Luke.
You're a delight, aren't you?
But you both agreed with me on the one that I was telling you about yesterday. This one...
What was yesterday?
I can't even remember. There's so many.
It was really important, obviously.
Almost as good as a bit on the podcast you hear today as we do try and get callers for Where'd You Get the Baby Numb From. Up next, our better callers, or the callers we love the better. Our callers are after this.
Give us a good story that's good.
Yeah,
I've been nominated for awards. I'll have you know.
Yeah, but went 0-5 on the night, didn't you?
You did too! Okay. So I'll paint you a picture.
Yeah.
Last night we were driving to the shops and we were at an intersection where we had a green turning light.
Mm-hmm.
And it was red and it turned green. Alex went to drive out to turn right and a prick on a scooter with their lights off in the dark flew through the red light the other way going forward. So he had to slam on his brakes. He didn't honk his horn.
Yeah, that I'd be horny in that situation.
And I was like, mate, honk your horn.
Yeah,
and he goes, what does it achieve?
It lets the idiot know that he's done
the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Same thing happened today. This was even worse. We were going straight.
Yeah.
And the green turning right signal turned on and a person in front of us just went straight through the red light. They launched through the intersection.
But they were in front of you?
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't have honked it for that.
I wouldn't have honked that.
No one beeped.
That's their own stupid decision.
Because it doesn't affect you directly. I'll only honk if it affects me directly.
Yeah.
Well, I was like, okay. Firstly, our car, when you honk, it takes the footage from the last 20 seconds.
Well, what are you? You're not going to dob in someone for accidentally running a red light.
If someone got hurt or if someone, I'm like, it's important to get...
Snitches get stitches, AB. This is why I wouldn't have been your friend in high school. You would have been a divvy dobber.
No way.
Absolutely.
No way, man.
You can't keep a secret. You're absolutely a dibby dobber.
I would never dibby dob. I got dibby dobbed on for hosting the school formal party. So, no, that wasn't my
style. You're one of the great dibby dobbers.
No.
And you would be up there with the dibbiest of the dobbers.
No, I can't even remember a time I've ever done that.
You are the... Mate. Oh, you... No way.
I have so much gear on you I could dibby dob in.
Like what?
I won't reveal it.
Well, that's a bad... Like, people want to know now. Dibby dob.
Just message me.
Dibby dob.
No, I didn't. And that's just in case something happens. But he was like, no, you can't honk. And I was like, people need to be honked or they don't know what they did wrong.
No, you don't honk if they've gone through and they're away from you. But if it directly affects you, honk away.
Yeah, he wouldn't honk the first person. What's he going to achieve? Like, as if they're going to come around and fight you afterwards, which look, they might. But...
He wouldn't fight well, Alex, either.
No,
he wouldn't fight
actually,
at all.
Actually, today I did...
You got in a fight?
No, a Tesla pulled out of the road in front of me. I nearly honked them.
Yeah.
But then, like, lucky I didn't because then I sat behind them at the red light and there was, like, road construction. So I was behind them for about 10 minutes
then
as well.
Then you ran the red light.
Yeah, then you're like, then it'll be awkward.
I was seething, though, because they nearly T-boned me all because they thought that they could just turn out onto the main road that I was going down.
Fuck. I even pumped my horn the other day because a guy... I was pulling into a car park and this old bloke was walking past and he was on a crutch, so I felt terrible for him. And there was a scooter, like a electric scooter parked there, and he just pushed it into my car park because he was a grumpy prick.
I'll be that old man. I can't wait for
anyway, I honked him to be like, now I'm pregnant. I have to get out of my car.
You can't honk an old man.
He pushed the scooter into my car.
An old man takes precedence over a pregnant woman.
No.
100%.
Well, I had to park and get out and move the scooter that he knocked over.
Nah, everyone's fair game. Honkable.
Yeah, everyone needs a little
not
honk
an old
sometimes.
Man. You can't
honk to keep him humble.
What about an old lady?
He probably served our country.
What about an old lady? So.
Well, she could have served the country too.
Exactly.
I wouldn't honk an old
they're
lady
all
either.
They're honkable.
No.
If they're doing something wrong, they're
honk
honkable.
An old lady.
Like,
I
you're
absolutely
so right.
would.
Honking keeps people humble.
What are, they're almost dead. Just let them do what they want.
If those old people are on the road and do something that's a honkable offence, they probably shouldn't be on the road to begin with.
See, I've honked an oldie before and then realised they're an oldie afterwards and felt really bad about it.
No, they shouldn't be on the road.
Well, that's
yeah, they
not
do need
fault,
to learn,
though.
Like that, because they have to redo their licenses.
Yeah,
yeah, but you got to understand, if you're 80 and your mind's going a little bit, and there's no, like, some of these people have no one, right? So they have no one to keep them accountable.
I understand that it's like an independence thing as well.
Old people,
but old people who cannot follow road rules and drive to the road to the speed limit shouldn't be on the road.
Which old person?
They are a danger.
Oh, you're a danger.
And also,
you're a danger.
You're a liability.
But if they do have family in their life, that's on them. Like, my grandma was a horrendous driver. She wasn't even that old. She would have been in her 60s.
What, you would have honked her?
No, we, as a family, took her car off
her.
We said, that's enough.
That
we,
poor woman.
We made, no, we said, we just think, we did an intervention and said.
There was her last bit of joy. And then she died.
You can't.
Because she was sad
no, we
from
said,
not driving.
We'll sell you your car and we'll get you cab charge permanently.
She
which
didn't
was great.
Care.
She loved it.
What's she going to use the money for? Her urn?
She used it for cab charge. To go to the shops and stuff.
A cab charge.
Yeah.
Oh, take away her one bit of independence.
She bought yarn and whatnot with it.
Yeah. Oh,
classic
shit.
Grandma.
All right.
Okay. AB's election campaign continues.
Oh, that was you didn't say anything during it, but I was giving you the looks.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
she has an idea.
Look.
This is the thing. She has an idea that on paper it's okay. And then when you try to go into specifics, you realise she hasn't
Have you ever heard
it.
A politician speak?
No, but what I think you might be doing, and look, correct me if I'm wrong, is you forget that you do this bit every Tuesday and you get to work and you fumble and fart for half an hour before the show and come up with it in that
no,
time.
No, I came up with the gist of it yesterday when I witnessed something.
Right. And then you stopped.
Yeah.
And then I thought, I'll work on that tomorrow.
Oh, I got the gist. That's all I need. Here's a headline.
We had a continue an update on where our jars of Central Queensland air are at.
Riveting radio.
Yep.
It was quiet. Thank you. Everyone's wondering where they are. They're following the journey.
We heard a story about some very unlikely animal friends.
Love that. Great ending to that story. Great ending. And this palooka wasn't listening, so she didn't get it.
Maroons assistant coach Matt Ballon joined us.
Good fella.
We wanted to know where your baby name inspiration was.
Oh, I don't know what else we do with that, but what AB said her cousin does and you still think is half normal is the strangest story I think I've ever heard on
it's
the show.
It's not that weird.
Luke?
No, it's weird.
It's
whenever,
so weird.
Can I confess, whenever I go overseas, I do go to cemeteries to see if I can find funny
thanks
names.
Thanks for giving away what I was trying to keep censored until we get to the podcast, but that's
there's
okay.
There's more to it than that anyway.
Well, there isn't actually. That's the whole story.
Reese Robson joined us from Blues Camp as well.
Dear.
So, Origin's tomorrow.
You hate Origin. You don't hate Origin.
I don't hate Origin.
But you're
just
like, eh.
I watch it. I enjoy it. And then it's done when it's done. Yeah. Like, I don't, it
See,
doesn't.
I get sad.
It, yeah, I don't let it affect my whole week. Like, if Queensland was to lose, I'd be like, oh, that sucked.
Well. Yeah.
See, I would not be that mad because I do love a decider. Like, I'd be disappointed if we lost, but I also love a decider.
Yeah, see, if Queensland won, I'd be like, oh, Queensland won. Good for them.
It ruins my whole everything.
Yeah, it ruins Alex's whole existence.
Because my brother and my dad, who are Queensland fans, will call me straight after the results and I will turn it.
Yeah, that's hard.
What do they say? Because I can't imagine your dad saying much.
I can't say it on here because Luke will have to beep it out. But, you know, F you, F that, you stupid.
Oh, does he really?
F this, F you, haha, you effing idiots. F you, grubs.
Yeah,
pretty much is the gist of it.
And do you ever say, why did you let me be born in New South Wales then, Champion?
Well, see, I hate that my dad, and I know you're getting bored, so I'll wrap this up in a second. My dad is from New South Wales, moved to Queensland when he was 30 and changed.
You're kidding.
So he was a St. George and New South Wales fan. He's now a Queensland and Broncos fan.
That's floggy.
Exactly.
So but what why about, you hate the Broncos?
So what about my dad was a Tigers fan, but that was because Broncos didn't exist in the competition.
I can kind of get that because they weren't a team.
And then
if he's from Brisbane, fair enough. But yeah, my dad.
Thank God he's not a Tigers
fan. The one thing I don't like about him is he's a very loyal person and it doesn't go with his personality that he swapped and changed.
He seems so Queenslander too.
Yeah, I hate it.
Maybe he just felt more at home at Queensland.
Yeah, maybe he just liked the people more
he's
and
gone
the vibes.
Full Queensland. I get it, but you never changed. Like, look,
no,
don't you reckon
can't.
I would have changed if I could have?
I don't know.
My team sucked for so long.
Part of you is just stubborn.
I think you do like
pain,
though. You're a sucker for pain.
I don't like pain.
A little bit.
No, it's like people go to the dentist because they enjoy pain. I don't enjoy pain. I get it.
Like, I'm a St Kilda supporter. We've known nothing but losses.
But you've never
still
bailed
stuck
on
with them.
Yeah.
No, and I could have because I settled on St Kilda at a very, very, very young age.
I still don't have a team.
100% could have.
AFL. I just bought some hats, actually. I bought a Port Power hat, Sydney Swans hat, and a Gold Coast Suns hat. I'm like,
I reckon you go Suns.
Yeah, but I don't like their Guernseys. I don't like red.
Yeah.
Oh, Tasmanian Devils.
Nah.
That's a great jersey.
Tassie people,
no, it's
weird.
Not. It's
I like
weird
it. I like the colours.
Oh, Tassie people, you know, they're just...
No.
They're not WA, but...
Or are they almost as weird?
Don't
anyway.
Do Port Power.
No, but I got a mate at Port. That's the only reason they've tickled my pickle for a long
but
time.
Is he still there?
But he's leaving after this year, I believe. So.
Yeah, it's just not a good. I don't know.
Up the pair. I love how they do You Never Walk Alone song before the game.
Oh, the
so
Gary and the Pacemakers.
Cool. Yeah.
Like in the.
Like Liverpool.
Yeah, Liverpool.
Yeah. They do it well, but they are scumbag fans. Anyway, all right, enjoy. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye. Triple M's Rush Hour with AB and Elliot. The Rush Hours, If I Was Premier.
Gee, I don't know how I get it all done in a week. Doing this show, being up the duff and barely being able to move and do anything at the same time, and also creating an incredible election campaign that people actually stop me on the street about now, Elliot. They say, I absolutely love your promise that you're going to add NANGs to the Return and Earn program. I'm excited to see them out of our lakes and rivers. The free childcare is going to be great. Matinee sessions for all of our concerts that come to Queensland. They're loving it sick. And I think this next one is going to be no exception. I was inspired, actually, yesterday. I went to the shops, and it is the first week of school holidays for Queensland. And even though these kids have got their iPads and their Nintendos and whatever else, their Fortnite, they're still bored. Bored enough that there were little rat bags in the shopping centre pushing trolleys up against cars. If they don't have enough to do in the school holidays and they've decided that youth crime is it, I'm going to introduce legally government-enforced chores during the school holidays.
Go on.
So kids on holidays, instead of messing about doing nothing, unless, of course, they've got something legitimate, you know, like I've got a few friends, their kids are going and doing various sports camps. They've got compulsory lawn mowing, lacquering the decks. You know, in Germany, they impose compulsory military service or community service for the first year after school. We do that in the school holidays. Besides Christmas, because obviously parents, you know, try and get Christmas off so they can be together as a family. But there is a certain number of tasks that kids have to complete before they're allocated free time. Imagine the streets, the houses, the lawns are mown, the clothes have been put out on the line. Yep. Everything's taken care of. Thank me later, Queensland parents.
Who polices it?
There's a list of tasks.
Who polices it?
Oh, they'll be like employed members of the government, public servants.
So it's going to cost more taxpayers
money? Who have
money?
To go out and check.
Correct?
Yeah, but then what does having all of your chores at home cost? That's labour that you're using otherwise while you're still working. Because a lot of parents can't take off school holidays.
Just checking that you are saying to me that we're going to send rat bag kids to other people's places to mow their lawns. These are the kids that are breaking into our homes. We're going to let them into our backyards.
No, they have to do it in their own first.
Right. Okay.
But then if they don't have a yard or whatever, they'll be allocated to different projects, picking up rubbish off the streets.
And the people policing that are... You haven't created
the parents
the title yet.
As well. They'll be digitally enforcing it, like the checklist, saying they've done this, they've done... So I lived in Germany for a year. I did a gap year and I dated a guy that did the community service.
Okay.
He had to log and say I went this many hours and blah, 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 and an adult signed off on it.
Okay. Could we not just do what the Catter Party are already suggesting and just send the bad kids out bush for a while?
No, I just think make them all do the right thing.
So the kids that are going to go to sporting camps, we're going to stop them from doing that because they need to do their chores. Then they can go to sporting camp.
They can go to sporting
camp. This is very confusing, AB.
I said if they've got stuff on the agenda, they're already allowed to do that.
So, okay.
But if they're doing nothing, that's when we start imposing.
But this is what I understand now. So the parents and families that are rich enough to be able to afford the kids to send them to camps, those kids are sweet. But the kids that are struggling and surviving on bugger all, their parents can't afford to send them away or go on nice holidays, they're the ones we're going to punish.
And we could actually
pay them
a little bit. We could pay them some government pocket money.
So now we're paying the kids as well.
Yes, out of Centrelink.
So you're going to pay the people to police the children and pay the kids as well?
No, pay the kids.
So what about the people policing it?
Hey, over the school holidays, I mowed my parents' lawn every single week. I did the washing or whatever. I got $30. I could go to the movies. that night.
That's your worst. Again, unprepared.
Nah, you just...
You've got an idea, but nothing to back it. You've got no plan in place.
I told you, it's going to be signed off by the parents.
The parents are the ones letting these kids go out and steal cars, you idiot.
Not according to them. They say that it's a lot more complicated than that.
Oh, my God.
We're helping enforce jobs for them
to do.
That's
so bad.
You're just a hater.
I'm not a hater. I'm the logical one.
You don't even like politics.
No, I don't.
I'm taking your role off you as tuck shop commissioner, which was another promise.
I don't want to be part of your party.
Till next week, Queensland.
This is Triple M's Rush Hour with AB and Elliot.
An idea was born a couple of weeks ago, Elliot, as per most on this show, born by me, executed by me, and you refused to take part in them. In any way whatsoever.
That's because you execute things poorly and I don't want my name attached
to it. Well, no, because you're a New South Wales supporter and you didn't want to have any part of insulting the name of your state.
No, I never will.
And look, while I was sort of sticking the boot in a little bit to the Blues, I also was trying to genuinely help them out. We asked the people of Queensland, where is the most talented region of regional Queensland? And there was a lot of investigation that went into this. We were counting celebrity numbers from Mount Isa, from Dalby. We landed on one particular region, which just produces oodles of talent, not just in the rugby league space. Kate Miller Heike, Busby Maru, Anna Mears. We actually had producer Luke sit down with Jeremy Maru from Busby Maru just to talk about how special Central Queensland is.
It seems like Central Queensland is the hub of the world. And obviously, that's just in our minds. But everywhere we go, we've got a connection. You know, people come and you talk about their connection to Central Queensland. And you're right, it's produced some of, international, national superstars.
Not only that, people are actually moving back to the CQ region. People born and raised, they've gone to the Big Smoke and gone, I miss it here. Luke, you said there was a couple of country music singers as well.
Yeah, Brad Cox, originally from Jindabyne, has moved to CQ, and Christine Arnoux, she's moving back moved back.
Something very special about that place, so much so that we had our CQ team, Anthony and Pinky, actually bottle up some of the air from CQ, send it in jars to us to package and send to the people that need it the most, which in my opinion is the losers from New South Wales. They're lovely people. We work with them in
Don't
Team Triple
do
M.
That. Don't
but they haven't had much success of late. I'm not going to give them everything. I'm not going to give them all my tips. Like, you know, when Tom Dearden got interviewed on the Matty Johns show on Sunday, they said, oh, you know, how are you going to defend as a team? He's like, man, I'm not going to tell you that.
Right.
We're not going to give you all of our skills, all of our magic.
We don't want anything
but a
from
dose
you.
Of it.
We don't want that.
A jar-sized piece of Central Queensland so that maybe they can just have a sniff, a whiff of what success smells like.
Okay.
In Australia Post right now,
yeah,
on their way to Sydney, are a number of packages of this jar of Central Queensland Air. 100% Central Queensland Air.
Yeah.
To Aaron Woods, to Mitchell Pearce, to Wade Graham.
So all the old
legends. To Mark
Geyer. Yeah.
To all the old legends of New South Wales. They'll receive it this week. They'll get a taste and just a feel to see what it's like to smell winning air.
You carry on like it's 2008 again, Annabelle. You've won two in a row. You know what I mean?
It's the beginning of a second dynasty.
Oh, spare me. Spare me.
I'm trying to be graceful.
You're not at all. No part of you is trying.
Well, look, Australia Post have said these packages are due to arrive any minute now. We'll touch base with those legends tomorrow.
On Origin Day.
And see how it's changed them.
Oh, for goodness sakes. We want to get stories of unlikely animal friends.
This is the best kind of stuff we do.
There's a photo, and I know you put it on our story, Rush Hour QLE on Instagram. These have surfaced from India, and the pictures are beautiful. If you just type in leopard and cow together, you'll see more images than just that one.
Oh.
And it is as it sounds. So a leopard as a cub was sneaking into a property in India and started, you know, being mates with this one cow to the point where the cow would nurse the cub like it was his own. the cub grew up to be a full-grown leopard, and the leopard and the cow stayed friends ever since, and would sleep together at night, would play together, would hang out together. Two animals you would never think could coexist. The photos are beautiful.
Unlikely animal friendships is the most beautiful thing in the world. There was one a number of years ago, I remember, and it was a monkey and a boar, like a small pig boar, based in Japan. They were in a zoo together. Miwa and Urobo. And they actually, like videos of them riding together, the monkey would jump on the back of the pig, became so popular that they actually had a song written about them. Baby monkey, riding on a pig, baby monkey. Catchy. I can't lie. If you're having a bad day, search baby monkey riding backwards on a pig. It's nothing but joy.
Look, there's a lot of great big properties across this beautiful state that are home to so many different animals. I'd love to see if we can get some stories. 133353, unlikely animal friends. There's a show on Nat Geo Wild called exactly that, Unlikely Animal Friends, and it's orangutans and Rottweilers.
The best job.
And, you know, ducks and cows and all kinds of things.
When they're little enough, they don't know otherwise.
Well, it's like the story out of the Gold Coast, the Staffy and the Magpie.
Oh, yeah.
Best mates in the world.
They've been reunited as well. It was a good ending in the end.
Unlikely Animal Friends.
133353, Halifax. Brad, tell us about your unlikely animal friends.
Well, when I was only a young fella, we used to live out on cattle stations a lot. And on one particular cattle station, all the ringers had pig dogs. Mm-hmm. And I said to my father, I said, I want a pig dog. So he brought me home this little boar pig. He was a little tiny fella. But the dogs took to him like another dog.
So hang on. He brought you an actual pig and the dogs fell in love with the pig.
Oh, yeah. They were best mates. And when the ringers would go out chasing pigs, the dogs would jump on the ute, and the pig was running around the ute waiting to try and get up there because he couldn't. But he'd sit at the gate waiting until those dogs came back home. And no sooner they came home, they were rolling around on the floor together.
Do you think that the pig would turn on his own if he went out with the dogs?
I think he probably would. But I tell you what, to end a good story with him, though.
Please.
He tasted beautiful.
Oh, Brad!
You're cancelled. We didn't even get his name.
Oh.
I don't think you eat boars. Aren't they a bit too tough?
He didn't say he was a boar. He just said he was a pig.
He said it was a dog boar. Pig boar.
Like, a dog pig boar. Is that a new breed of pig? He said it was a tiny pig.
I'm just creating a different ending in my head. Don't mind me.
State of Origin Game 2 tomorrow night at the MCG. You're going to hear it live here on Triple M on the Listener app. Kickoff just after 8 p.m. Now, so many amazing assistant coaches in that Maroons setup. Of course, you know, we know led by Billy Slater. The work Josh Hannay's done, incredible. You Nate Miles. But an underrated one joins us today, doing amazing work at the Brisbane Broncos, also with Queensland, Matt Ballon. Hello, mates.
G'day, guys. How are you going?
Doing well, Matt. Really appreciate your time so close to the game. New South Wales have a history of losing game one but then finding a way to get game two done. How prepared do you think the Queensland boys are to wrap up the series tomorrow night?
Well, we've had a really great week. You know, personally, you know, I've really enjoyed it as a coach. I know all the players have thoroughly enjoyed their time under Billy and JT and Josh Hannay. And myself, they've conducted themselves really professionally and also had a really good time socially with themselves. So, you know, we're really confident in our preparation. We know that they've changed their teams and they have some really good players in their side. So we'll have to play some really good Queensland football tomorrow night to win the game.
Channel 9 have made the controversial decision to use the footage of Sualihi taking out Reece Walsh from Game 1 as their promotional material for Game 2 to, I don't know, hype up the crowd. Obviously, it's a hard watch, particularly for people in and around Reece Walsh in Maroons camp. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's probably a little bit inappropriate, isn't it? It's an illegal tackle where it gets someone in the head and causes, you know, pretty bad injuries towards our players. So, you know, we talk about concussion being an issue these days and probably not a great thing to contain it. You know, Reece knows that he's a big target defensively and he does everything he can to avoid that. And players, when they play the game, they've got to, you know, avoid contact with the head. So it's probably not a great look for the game. It might get them a little bit of attention, but probably for the wrong reasons.
Matty, Latrell Mitchell, the big in for New South Wales in game two. Everyone seems to be talking about him. It's Valentine Holmes that's going to mark him come Wednesday night. How or who has been working with Val to make sure he's ready for that challenge? Arguably the biggest one of his career.
Yeah, sure. Joshy Hannay works with our edges, just on our defence structures, and he's done a fantastic job with Val. You know, it's not only Val, it'll be Cherry Evans on that side. You know, we'll all be working together with Murray Tuolungi and all the players, you know, over on that edge will be working really hard on Latrell, because obviously he's one of the superstars of our game. And we'll be working really hard to shut him down and expose some of his weaknesses as well.
Matt, as a blue undercover, I'm going to be honest with you today. Latrell Mitchell, you think you can expose some of his weaknesses? What are they?
Yeah.
Just so I can go back to Madge and make sure.
We've spoken about them internally.
So let's speak externally.
No, that's the bush poets to know.
Exactly. No, we'll keep those to ourselves. We'll let you guys work that out for yourself. We know what they are, and he would know what they are too. He's got a lot of strengths. You know, we've got to make sure that we're good on his strengths, and then, you know, in your games you can be exposed sometimes in these big games. So, you know, we'll be doing our best to cover up his strengths and then work on some things around him as well.
Yeah, you say that they will go figure it out, Matty, but we both know that they won't. It's not in their DNA.
Queenslander. If we lose, we'll just make 10 changes. All right, Matt Ballin, always appreciate your time, mate. Congrats again on the Origin gig. You're doing amazing work in Brisbane, and good to see you rewarded, mate. Appreciate your time.
Good on you guys. Great to talk to you. See you later.
Triple M's Rush Hour with AB and Elliot.
Where did you get the baby name from? The more interesting, the better, because on the weekend I had a baby shower in Brisbane with my family and friends. One of my cousins, Rachel, she has outstanding baby names. She's got all girls. She's got a little Mabel and Edith and Eleanor. I love old-timey names.
Mabel.
Yeah, I think it's a great name, and it's been trending since then.
WWF villain from the 90s.
Nah, it sounds like when Bart Simpson does that impersonation where he's trying to be an old woman, he says, I says to Mabel, I says.
I don't know.
Anyway, I love that name. I love all of her names. She's always had those really, really classical girl names.
Right.
I said to her, Rach, like, you know, you're really good at naming kids. She said, I've got this whole list. She showed me on her phone. There was like 30 names deep. Some of the best classic names I've ever seen.
Okay.
I said, where do you get them from? She goes, oh, whenever I travel to a regional Queensland town, I just walk around the graveyards.
She what?
She walks around the cemeteries and she'd be like, oh, Dulcie, that's a nice name. She passed away in 1901. Writes it down. She also checks obituaries.
She is weird.
For women that are like in their 90s, like 100, turning 100.
Annabelle, that's not normal behavior.
No, because those names are coming back.
No, I don't. I'm not bagging the names. I'm bagging the behavior to get the names. That's very wrong.
Do you not like walking around cemeteries?
Can you listen to what you just said?
I sometimes do for curiosity. I think it's nice, particularly in like little towns.
It's nice.
I don't do it all the time, but she actively did it while she was trying to find baby names, and she found some great ones.
She still does it because she's got 30-plus names written down.
No, they're from her from before. But she said occasionally she'll open the paper and see the obituaries and go, oh, I can pass on one to a friend. And I got a good 20-plus names from her.
You don't think that's odd?
No.
Oh, for God's
sake. I think it's great. I think it's genius. 133-53, where'd you get the baby name from? Do you know where yours comes from?
Elliot Ness in Is It the Usual Suspect or whatever, and Elliot from E.T. Yeah.
Okay.
Not Gravesites.
No, my mum just said that she met a friend who had an Annabelle and she liked it.
On Grave Woman, would like if she sees a really sad story where, you know, someone lived for only 6 years or something, would she be more or less likely to take one of the names?
I did ask that.
Yeah.
She said, it depends, because if it's been like if she's seen that name around a few times, not everyone has the same terrible ending and association with their name. There's some great dead set. If you're a lover of old names, message me. I've got the list, guys.
I'm blown away.
Thank you
that.
To the graveyards of Queensland.
Well, what's her relationship to you?
Cousin.
Oh, God.
She lives in Toogoolawa.
I don't want to give her a shout out. I'm scared by it.
That's great.
The creepy cousin.
Where'd you get the baby name from? 133-53. The better the story.
The better the story, the what?
The better it'll be. First to Townsville, Lizzie. What's the baby name?
It is Audrey.
Love Audrey. I had a great aunt called Audrey. Where did you get Audrey from?
Audrey Hepburn.
That's a good one.
See, that's a nice
because
story.
I love those old school movies, yep. And she was just this classic style and beautiful, so I've loved that name forever.
Agree. Good way to do it, Lizzie.
That name will never go out.
What do you think about graveyard stalking to find names, sir?
Just a wee bit creepy.
Thank you.
But, yeah.
Thank you.
There'd be some Audreys on graves out there. My great aunt is on one of them.
That's not the point, AB. I'm sure there's wonderful names. In fact, every name's on a grave because lots of people die. It's the fact that she would go down and write down names
it's
of the dead.
It's just inspo. Okay, we'll take Kim Trinity Beach. What was the name that you had?
My son's name was Gaius.
Okay.
And we got that from listening or actually watching the credits of movies that we liked.
Yeah.
And actually it was like name bingo. We'd pair the name with our last name. And, we got Gaius Northcote. And it was inspo from Gaius Baltar from Battlestar Galactica. But, you know, it's a little bit epic. My son was born by Caesar and the most famous Gaius was Gaius Julius Caesar.
Oh, yes,
so
of course.
Brings it a full circle.
Hey, so you'd like really froth on the Star Wars credits, for example, Kim, because they go for about 10 minutes.
Yeah, we would just literally go through and it was like name bingo. Me and my ex-hubby would just shout out names and then Northcote, Northcote, you know, it's like, oh, I like that one. Oh, that's a good one. Shove that on the list.
I love that. Yeah. Mostly because most people don't watch the credits. It's like, finally, they've got a purpose.
And again, a lot more normal than cemetery behaviour.
Okay, Karanda Ursula, great name, by the way. Is it yours that we're talking about?
It is indeed, yes.
Okay, and where did that one come from? Because you're saying it's not the Sea Witch.
It's definitely not the Sea Witch. So my mum liked the name from the James Bond movie, so Ursula Andress.
And even that, Ursula, is a normal way to go about it. And I hope you don't mind me saying this. My parents used to live in Karanda. Karanda's not a normal place. Karanda is filled with beautiful hippies and alternate human beings. Do you know many people in Karanda that would go cemetery hopping to find names for their babies?
I don't. No. I'm sorry, but I think it's a great idea.
Oh, Ursula.
Thank you, Ursula.
I would never have thought of that, but I like it.
I also love the name Ursula. It's adding to the list.
Oh, she's going full Karanda on me. All right, 1-333-53. You can reach out any stage. Thanks for the call, Ursula. I know all about being a blue in enemy territory. This bloke does it better than most, though. He's one of the true superstars at the North Queensland Cowboys, rewarded with, and rightly so, a jersey for New South Wales last year. He's a massive part of their side now. Their starting hooker. Kind enough to join us, Reece Robson. Hello, mates.
G'day, how you doing?
Doing well, Robbo. Appreciate you joining us, 24 hours out from the biggest game of your Origin career so far. Are the boys ready and how's me mate Latrell going?
Yeah, mate. All the boys ready to go, mate. Just can't wait to get out there. And, Latrell's come in, slipped into camp, as you'd expect, mate. He's fit and raring to go. And, gives a lot of the boys a lot of confidence. And I'm really looking forward to getting out there and seeing how he goes tomorrow night.
Reece, I'd love to know, because a lot of these guys are your mortal enemies throughout the regular season. Anyone in that blue squad in particular that you were like, I hate that dude, and now you've realised they're not that bad?
No, I'm not overly. No, I guess I'm probably two in the thick of it on a weekend playing in the middle. I don't really get into a lot of the chat, so I don't really. I hear a few stories from some of the boys, but I'm probably too exhausted to really fall into a lot of that sort of chat. But
of course.
So when I get into camp, I guess I get on with most of the boys pretty well. It's probably the ones wearing the maroon jerseys that I don't get on with as much this time of year.
Oh, Reece, I know you have spoken publicly about having to play against your Cowboys teammates. It can't be easy, sorry. With all your great mates lining up against them, like, do you flick a switch or is it a natural thing? How does it work?
Yeah, mate, I guess I've said a few times over, as you've heard. I find it pretty easy, mate. They're really good mates of mine. And when you get back to the Cows colours, you forget pretty quick. But no, when you're in these sort of camps, as it'd be the same for them, they're just trying to do whatever they can to get the win for their state, and I'm doing the same for mine. And so, yeah, there's another fella pulling on a maroon jersey that I'm not really worried about until we get back in cow's colours.
Reece, how much does it hurt your soul that your beautiful little daughter Hazel was born in Queensland? I mean, I've heard whispers that possibly some scouts are looking at maybe chucking her into a side in the next couple of years just to make sure she gets her first few games in the great state.
Yeah, I know. I guess, yeah, poor little Darwin had to sacrifice that one and be born up there. Didn't get too much of a choice, obviously, but no, she knows deep down where the best state is, and it's south of the border.
Elliot, you've got the presidency at South and Townsville.
No. We're going to send her to Tamworth for a season, get her eligible. Hey, Robbo, away from the training paddock, you know, the boys like to unwind. I've seen some videos from New South Wales camp. Boyd Cordner was one of my favourite players of all time. He could be the worst basketballer I've ever seen footage of. Reece, I don't know. Airball after airball after airball. Is there anyone worse than him in the squad?
Oh, mate, I'd have to say the Doc. There's a few videos getting around the Doc. Had a little one-on-one against Jerome Luai, and got a little bit undone there. So I don't think he's getting back out on the court anytime soon.
Reece, is there any truth to Joseph Suolihi being used as target practice as Walsh in Blues camp? Is that what he's being utilised as?
Yeah, we can tell definitely a Queenslander here. Mm-hmm. Am I right?
Hey! I'm just
scumbag Queenslander,
the press.
Right?
Yeah. You can put it to bed if you wish.
Yes, I'll put that one straight to bed. No, not at all. It's just good having him back around the squad since he was probably hard done by in game one. I think everyone would agree. And, it's good having him back around the squad.
Hey, Reece, been an admirer of the way you've played your footy for a long time, mate. It is absolutely deserved that you're there at the pinnacle as a
Very
Blue.
True.
Wish you the best of luck tomorrow night, brother. Appreciate your time.
All right, thanks for having me.
This is Triple M's Rush Hour with AB and Elliot.